Okay. This is Shirley Bradley and Lisa Fine. We're at the home of Doris Faustman in Williamston, and this is June 23rd, 1992. We're going to be talking about real memories.
Okay. Since we don't have, a lot of background information about you at Rio, why don't we start with, when you worked at Rio and what you did there, and
okay.
Then we usually go into other sort of background about you, but since we don't have that to start with, why don't we start with that?
Okay.
Which you took me on.
Well, I agree. That's
wonderful.
Yeah. I was first hired in January of 1945.
Okay. Okay. And where did you work when you came
I worked at Hearts and Service.
Okay.
With Ross and Swisher. And that was Dollar. People remember him by the name of Dollar.
Dollar? D-A-H?
Mm-hmm. Just like Bill. D-O-L-L-A-R. They called him that for a nickname.
What was his?
His name was Rellison Swisher.
Swisher?
If anybody needed a part on their truck or something, they called him to place an order.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good. He knew all these parts and everything. And so I was the one that typed them and sent the order, started the order then.
Was it just you two that worked in the department?
Oh, no. It was quite a big department, parts and service was. Mm-hmm. He was under Judd McClernan.
Mm-hmm.
You might have run into him. And Judd was under Pete Hamlick.
That's a name that I've seen.
Pete?
H-A-M-E-L-I-N-K.
E-H-H-A-M-E-N.
E-L-I-N. Hamlick.
Oh, Hamlick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and how long were you in parts and service doing that job?
I worked, until about July of 47.
Okay. There.
Uh-huh.
And then you moved on?
Well, I had two daughters.
Oh.
I went back to work again.
Oh, okay.
So I went back to work in probably in 49. And I worked for 2 years until 1951.
Okay.
Then I went back in 67 and worked until it was closed down. So, and I went back on the same job, although they kept getting a little bit different.
Okay.
So
but
I
in
ended
the same
up,
department,
mm-hmm,
parts and service.
Parts and service. And then they became a warehouse. And so my job, I became an order clerk and an expediter. And this is what that was our group.
For their regions.
Uh-huh.
I
and
see.
I was back up for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I had my own.
This was your territory,
no,
the South?
No, I was for all. I was back up for everybody. And then I had all the national accounts and the warehouses and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
And
so Pat Lips was for the South.
Mm-hmm.
And
Marty
Toomey was for the Northwest and the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Clark Cooper was for the Michigan Midwest area, mm-hmm, Ohio, Indiana. Looks like,
mm-hmm,
Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. And Sarah Ward was for the East.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so any order for any part went through, through us.
Those people, and you knew
and I was responsible for, to back them all up.
Were you the supervisor of all these people,
no,
too?
No, I could have been.
You could have been.
No, but he was the only guy, and so I, I didn't really care about getting any farther advanced. This was a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
This was a class 7 when I was there, and 8 it was the highest for me.
Oh.
Any women,
But so one as high as 8 and you were at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all were. And I was really the oldest one.
More seniority.
Yeah. And really, it wasn't seniority because that was something different, but that's...
Hmm. In terms of experience on the job,
yeah,
knowing the...
See, when this became a warehouse, they took me and I trained all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So they had to hire me, even though they went, might have wanted somebody else, because I was the one that... Well, see, I was getting a level of 5, and all these people working for me was, mm-hmm, 7. So when they opened up the job, I became in there, and they asked me to take the super... it's not that... They call it
like a coordinator.
Yeah, but they call it like in the union. See, we were unionized,
mm-hmm,
and I just didn't want to be over those girls. I could see, I was the oldest gal there and stuff. So I told Jim Catline, you probably talked about him. He was our boss.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
At this time, in the warehouse time. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I thought Clark would be better.
Hmm. For the uh-huh.
Because
supervisor.
My kids were growing up, you know, pretty well and stuff, and I didn't really want to get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm.
Now, you did this after you came back in 67.
Mm-hmm. See, I can't remember when the warehouse became...
Was it on the in the same area as you'd been in before? Mm-hmm.
See, it was always parts and service. It's parts. And if a truck broke down or anything like that and they needed a part, then they called for us. If we didn't have it on hand, then we'd have to find
where
it was, someplace in the United States or something. And we had computers and stuff like that.
Oh, you did?
We had a lot of phoning and stuff mm-hmm. to do. We were on the phone almost continually to get that truck back on the road. That was mm-hmm. our job. And these were the guys that were on the
sales.
They were on the sales and stuff for...
And this is wonderful that you saved this.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I thought I had some other stuff, but...
West Fourier was in the western area. Ralph Siegel was in the central. I'm just mm-hmm. saying these for the tape. Bill Richards was in southern sales, and John Ponablanco was northeastern. And they were the parts sales regional mm-hmm.
representatives.
Okay.
So they would be out in the field in their areas, mm-hmm. and they would be expediting and troubleshooting mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
What a job! They probably hardly saw their families very much doing something like that.
Probably a lot of. I'm sure he's dead now, but they probably.
I don't know. That's West Fort you're talking
Forler.
About. Forler that mm-hmm. might have passed away.
So were you physically based in the warehouse itself?
Is that when it became a warehouse.
That's where
when
you
we
worked.
Became a warehouse.
Okay.
And that we were, we had to go out and shop too, you know, and had a lot of contact with the supervisors and stuff that made parts, mm-hmm. you know, that was responsible for making parts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really quite a job, but an interesting one. It was
sounds like it would be different every day.
It was, and I mean, you were busy, and I enjoyed being busy.
Problem solving and for people across
and
the
then,
United States.
Then we had, of course, you know, somebody call us and they'd say, well, their truck's down, something's wrong. So we'd have people that would, you know, guys that knew where all the parts were and everything, and they'd have to go and find the parts, you know, the part numbers for us and mm-hmm. stuff.
Like mm-hmm. a little tool crib kind mm-hmm. of thing?
Well, only this was office.
Oh.
And then we actually didn't work in the warehouse. We were the office for the warehouse. You know?
Mm. Okay. Did the office itself physically, did that stay the same, in the same place, or were you moved when you became a warehouse to some other part of the building?
Yeah. We were always on the third floor.
Oh, you were in the third floor. Okay.
Facing Washington?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then when we became, we went down on first and was over... Well, it would have been south before we were on the first floor then.
Okay.
Was it difficult to come back and go in and out of the Rio the way you did?
No, it wasn't.
Because we really haven't interviewed anybody that was back and forth in and out of the...
In fact, I'm trying to think. I worked with some of the same ones, and I can't remember. The last time, Barry Devine was my boss when I went back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired me because, well, I worked in there
before.
And the people knew me and, mm-hmm. you know.
When how long did you stay when you started out at for the last time in 67? Did you stay to 75?
75.
Mm-hmm. So you were there till it mm-hmm. closed up. And you kept going, you came back in and out for your family because you felt like mm-hmm. you needed to be at home sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
Stopped ahead. I had my two daughters,
two girls, yeah.
And then when I went back to work, I stopped and had my son.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't go back to work that time until he was about a junior in high school.
Oh, that's right. Between 57 and 67. Oh, no, it was 51.
Yeah,
51 and 67. So that's a long mm-hmm. time that you were out.
Yeah.
And there was no problem. They didn't have any problem taking you back.
No, like that. No problem at all.
Did you keep your seniority?
Well, my records got lost
somehow,
and they never could find them, because you know that chain, that was weight.
Oh, that's right, there was different
stuff
ownership,
like that.
Yeah.
And so I actually, even though I had more seniority than it than it showed. Mm-hmm. When it came down to legally, I didn't really have it because it had gotten lost.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Now, the first time you were in, there wasn't a union.
No.
But I probably...
The last time there was.
Not mm-hmm. the second time, but the last time there was. Did that make any changes that you could see?
I didn't like working for the union.
You didn't like the union?
Mm-hmm. I always thought it didn't help the people that wanted to work. It helped the stinkers.
Those that wanted to goof off and didn't want to be reported.
We've heard that from other people, too. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that happened? You know, what made it that way? Why did the union make it that way?
Yeah. Anyway, it seemed to me like they always backed up somebody that caused trouble. You know, mm-hmm. they were the ones that
used the protection
yeah.
of the union.
The rest of you knew your job and were doing
yeah. most
what you should
of
be doing
back
every day.
Then, you know, people really enjoyed, I think, putting out a good day's work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Except you get some people in there that just didn't, so that made you work
less. Felt like you didn't need to work as hard.
Or maybe you had to work harder to take up what they hadn't done.
Oh.
And since I backed up some of them, you know.
Mm.
I usually got them when they were mad.
Oh.
People, you know, they didn't get their parts and stuff, and when they got me, they were upset.
So you had to kind of be diplomatic and be the liaison between the customer and the factory, and soothe them down.
Did it improve any, like, your wages or any conditions?
When we became
union.
Well,
you don't think
I don't
a big difference?
Made all that great a difference there, really.
Mm-hmm. How about with
but see, used to be you could make on your own merits. I mean, when you became a union, you didn't get it on your merits.
Mm-hmm. You just got whatever everybody else got.
So.
How about it with respect to the grading system? Did you think that made things a little fairer in terms of being able to work your way up?
Oh, I think it made a lot more problems.
You think it did?
Mm-hmm. In the mine.
Mm-hmm. In your area.
Respect.
What
see, we're all classified the same, you know, actually, and stuff, but we all got the same pay, except he got, I think he got 5% more or something for being a leader, you know, all that.
It wasn't because he was a man that he was being paid more.
No, it was
okay.
That was...
Just curious.
But see what they did, might have done, you know... They put this, when this warehouse became a part, they put it onto typing, you know, and since I was the oldest one and I could type fairly good, I got all this work, training those people, but I mean actually work, until I complained. And then, because of the union, that's the only thing I ever thought helped.
Mm-hmm.
They had to post the job.
Okay, so they knew how much, what everybody had to do.
And, so when they posted the job, they couldn't turn me down.
Mm.
But they'd rather held me there where it made a lot of difference the amount of work I did. So they had to hire somebody else to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they hired, I think, 3 people to do my job when I...
You left?
When I, you know, left the job that I had on there.
Oh, I see.
Huh.
3 people?
Yeah.
Thank goodness. That's got to be a little bit of satisfaction.
they didn't have to work. Like we used to have to work.
Something was just handed to them, they did that and waited for something else to be handed to them.
Now you said that women didn't usually go beyond grade 8.
That's about the highest grade there was.
For women?
Mm-hmm.
In the
for anybody.
Office work.
Unless they became on salary, you know, well of course we was on salary too, but I mean unless they got...
Managerial?
Supervision.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was about...
I wonder how that was arrived at, the numbers.
Well, you know how the university
is.
You're classified and stuff, and it takes a lot. I mean, they're not always, when they do those job classifications, that's not always what it entails.
Yeah, they're not always accurate to what the job is.
Does it really represent what you're capable of?
Sometimes they say, in whatever it takes to get your job done.
Oh, they left that open end there.
A lot of those job classifications have that.
Mm-hmm. But 8 was the upper limits of the office staff. And then beyond that was managerial, supervisory, sales.
Yeah, sales was
above that too.
Mm-hmm.
Did people jump at all? from the eight to the other?
I don't really know if, you know, some of them did move up, but I don't.
Not many? Because, you know, that's what they talk about now. They call it a glass ceiling. You know, I mean, that at least technically you could be able to, but for many people that are in that clerical labor force, there's a glass ceiling they can see up there, but they can't go further. Yeah. So I'm just curious if there was something like that.
Well, I think probably, looking back, some of those people probably had more, experienced college or, mm-hmm. you know, knew their trucks and stuff like that.
And they used that to advance?
Advance.
Mm-hmm.
In sales, but they used to hire people from outside too. And of course, with that being resold so many times,
yeah.
you know, they bring in their people.
That's right.
Who white truck them and something like
so. It's hard to tell what the.
So I never really questioned it too much.
Did this guy? Did he advance, Clark Cooper?
Clark was. I don't know what he does now. He never got out of there when I was
when you were there.
There.
Okay. Okay, but you were saying that you thought it would be better for him to be the supervisor so that he would have more opportunity.
Well, at that time, a guy, and he could use the 5%. You know, it didn't really matter that much, but I thought Clark had a better chance than any of us girls.
Mm-hmm. Of going up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean of being over.
Being a supervisor in that area?
Well, he was, you know, in the union as just one of these.
Mm-hmm.
He's a leader.
Uh-huh.
So, that's what you were called.
Hmm. I'd like to come back to this but in a minute, but I thought maybe I'd get some of the background stuff
uh-huh.
too. Is that okay, Shelley?
Yes.
We always ask the people we're interviewing about where they came from, where their parents were born, those kinds of things. So, but again, if, you know,
mm-hmm.
if there's anything you don't want to answer, you can certainly say
okay.
it. First of all, you let out when you were born, so I don't have to ask that
mm-hmm.
delicate question. With women, we don't usually. were you born in the Lansing area?
I was born right out here on Noble Road in Williamston.
In Williamston?
Well, it's in the country out here.
Yeah.
Just a couple miles away.
Did your parents farm out here then, or?
Yes.
They were farmers? And,
my father was a farmer, and he kind of a horse trader, I guess, you know, was dealt and selling and horses and cows and stuff like that.
Okay. And were they born here too? They were from here?
My mother was born in the Mason area.
Okay.
And then my father was born down in Lindsay, Ohio. So.
Oh, in Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And they came here to
mm-hmm.
work the land? Okay. Were your grandparents from the United States?
Yeah.
They were from USA. This is just to find out
mm-hmm.
if they're immigrants or
mm-hmm.
no. And so you went to school here in Williamson
mm-hmm.
Through high school.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't probably real big back then.
No, we had 47 kids when I graduated.
Oh my God! You had business courses.
Mm-hmm. I took business.
You did.
That's mm-hmm. where you learned to do your typing.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had them in the small high school
mm-hmm.
for mm-hmm. girls.
Shorthand typing and in.
Bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm. And you hired in at Rio in 45. Was that your first job?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
I think the first job I had after I got out of school was cashiering in a grocery store down there.
In Williamson?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I got married and, gosh, I worked quite a few different places, you know, small places.
Mm-hmm. Did you live in Williamson after you got married?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Well, went to Mississippi because it was during the war.
Oh, that's
right.
Really?
My husband was in the Navy, and so we lived at Gulfport for a
oh,
year
right.
before we came back here.
Oh, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Yep, it is. We went back once after it was, after that, just before the big hurricane that tore it all apart.
Oh, that's right, Camille. Wasn't it Camille?
I think so.
When was that? 69.
69. I think that was the big one down there.
And it ripped everything off.
Oh, it did.
Hmm. So then you both came back up here. Did
uh-huh.
you, your husband work at Rio too?
No, he worked at Lansing Oldsmobile.
He was at Oldsmobile. God, we've seen this a lot. Where
mm-hmm.
one of the couple worked at Oldsmobile, and worked at Rio. Sometimes it's the man, sometimes the woman.
He retired from Oldsmobile?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What did he do there?
Well, he worked in a lot of places. He retired as a supervisor in a tool room.
Oh.
To the grinding room. Or anyway, skilled trades.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Uh-huh. Did you always, you and your husband and your children always live out here in Williamston?
Yeah, we've lived here since about 47.
It's been back here for the kids to play
in. In this house?
Well, we had a little bitty house first.
Uh-huh.
In fact, where the garage is, it was tore down.
Oh, in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
So you built this house
yeah.
here? Oh, wow.
My husband built this house.
Oh, my goodness.
Did a good job.
Yeah. This is wonderful. Not that old. It's nice. And so since 1947, in the same... You mentioned your husband, you had three children?
Four.
Four?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had one girl before I went to work for you.
Oh, okay. So three girls and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And finally had that boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other, I really come to shoot, is there any other personal?
No, I guess I can't think of anything. I'm interested now in how she happened to go to Rio.
Right.
Maybe
I just that was just well my daughter had been born in she was born in 44 and my husband was in the service. I guess I just went looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You just went downtown looking mm-hmm. for a job.
Maybe they had it advertised or something.
I don't really mm-hmm. recall, you know.
You knew about Rio though, and did
yeah.
you know anyone that worked there?
Well, my neighbor down here a couple doors retired from Rio, and he worked in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
But that was no reason why I would have gone
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Just that they were
hiring.
They
were hiring.
And you needed
yeah.
a job.
Mm-hmm. Did it have any particular reputation that attracted you to it, or it wouldn't have mattered? It could have been any place
mm-hmm.
that needed a worker.
Mm-hmm. At that time, you didn't make very much money. But
after
that was better than... See, the war was on when I went
in. In 45.
Maybe, yeah, they were making trucks and, you know, army trucks and stuff then.
Mm-hmm. But you obviously thought it was a good place to work since you kept going back.
It was so easy to get a job like that. Yeah, I might have went elsewhere if I'd had a rough time getting back in.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, like Oldsmobile, they paid better than Rio.
Rio.
And I might have, you know, I'd go down there and put in my application and I got got rehired or something and... I guess that's why I went back there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so interesting.
But you know,
she
people
went back in the same department each time. You know, they said, "Hey, she knows this. Let's take her back here."
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there during the war when you worked there too? Was there? I know there was a price freeze. I'm wondering if there was a wage freeze.
There probably was. I can't remember right offhand,
mm-hmm.
but I know it wasn't very
mm-hmm.
much money. And you were, when you got your raises, then you got them on merit.
Mm-hmm. On what they thought, what kind of job
mm-hmm.
they thought you were doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, after you were there for so long and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
they give you merit raises. But
I like that way of doing. I think
mm-hmm.
that's the way people should be rated.
Did you participate in the girls' club?
Not too much. You know, I had a family and driving back and forth
that's
to
right.
work and. For a while, I didn't have a car. You know, I had to pay for my ride. You know, ride with somebody that went back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bowled with them. You know, I bowled with them.
Oh, you did.
Back there.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think I was back finished up. That's when I, you know, got involved a little bit more because I had all my own transportation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you get so confined to. You go with the driver to go on.
Mm-hmm. 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 So it was difficult to do a lot of the activities like
uh-huh.
after work and things because you had to get home
yeah.
and be with your family and find a ride.
Yeah. You went with those. When the driver went, you went.
Yeah. It must have been a little bit easier during the last episode because your kids were already sort of grown up
mm-hmm.
and didn't require quite as much care.
Yeah, and then I had a car to drive.
Oh, and that probably car, right?
So.
It gives you more freedom.
And that's a long way, and we just came in
15 miles.
Thing. Yeah.
15 miles.
Mm-hmm. And in the west.
And now
side,
you want the expressway, yeah. And you didn't have the expressway.
Yeah, that's right, you didn't.
A few years ago.
But they did keep Grand River open real good.
Did they?
Yeah, so. Some days, though, you. Sometimes you got snowed in, you didn't get out.
Yeah.
So sometimes you couldn't even get past the, you know, the end of town out here.
Uh-huh. Must have been interesting taking that route over the, all of these years, how much it's changed.
So really something to go by the Rio and not have nothing there.
Yeah.
Isn't that a shock? Even though I know I'm not going to see anything, I'm still shocked when there's, of course, Silver Lid's there now with their warehouse, but, you know, nothing else is in it.
It's kind of weird going down South Washington Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
How different it is?
To see that just big empty field with all that
territory. I mean, it's not a place I'd want to walk at night.
Mm-hmm. And it was different when you worked there?
Well, of course I wasn't around there at night, very, you know,
much.
But the downtown, we used to go down there for lunch and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Well, it was a safer world then.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk.
Did you see Lansing as sort of your area when you went shopping and everything, or did you, living out here in Williamson, see the town down here as your town?
Well, we used to have a lot more store, you know, like grocery stores down here.
Yeah.
So we usually did most of our grocery shopping here.
Mm-hmm.
But for other things, when we
go down to Lansing, mm-hmm. that was sort of the center that you used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before there were malls and
all
the other things.
Washington Avenue. Maurice's is down there, and J.C. Penney's, and
Knapp's.
Knapp's.
Right. My husband used to shop at Knapp's when he was a kid.
He used to work at Knapp's. That was the store.
Yep.
And Arbaugh's was a close second.
Mm-hmm. And then the Rio shut down in 75. Do you think all the stuff, the Lansing changed around the same time? The changes started happening in Lansing around the same time, or before, or after, or...
I don't know.
I'm just trying to get what Rio had to do with all that. You know, whether that was responsible or just sort of another, just one more thing that was contributing to it.
I'm sure it made a lot of downfall because there was a lot of people put out of work and stuff when they went.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very bad time, wasn't it?
Did that happen to you? You were just put right out of work?
Well, I was out of work. I ended up having surgery. You know, I took time off for that and stuff, and then I went back to work at Michigan State as a Kelly girl.
Well,
at Office Services.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you worked at State.
For 4 years I worked up there.
Mm-hmm. Which departments did you work in?
All over, mostly athletic. I worked there in agriculture engineering, I think, probably most.
Mm-hmm.
So, I enjoyed doing that. It was interesting to see how different areas of the college were.
But you said you found your job at Rio interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're on the phone and talking. Well, you're busy, you know, and stuff. And it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you didn't think that Rio paid as much as some other places you might.
I don't think it paid as much as Olds.
Olds, okay. Right.
Maybe the benefits were greater at Olds, too. I don't know.
Yeah. It was really, back then, Olds was a better place to work. You know, we had an old building that Rio, you know, needed really to be torn down.
Mm-hmm. Or renovated or something.
Yeah.
Were the office workers over at Oldsmobile unionized?
No, I don't know.
Because I was very surprised when I first found out that they were unionized at Rio, because office workers weren't really unionized.
I think
that
maybe
much.
We might have been some of the first ones or something.
Yeah.
I don't ever recall it old. But I don't know.
I'll have to look into that because I'm not sure myself. And it was the UAW that were unionized then, the office workers, just like the automobile workers.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't in one big union though, right? I mean, you had different.
Yeah, it was class. It was changed. I didn't really get too involved with the union. You know, you had to take part in certain things and stuff like that and stuff, but. I don't know if she gave you Marty Toomey. She was an active
union person.
Union
oh,
person.
Okay.
Really.
You mean if Doris gave us her name?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
She's still working someplace. I've seen her at the reunion last year. But she was, you know, she went up north there to that
Black Lake?
Yeah, Black Lake, and went through that, took that course that they give up there. Mm-hmm. And she was a real
active person.
Active person. Yeah.
Okay. When we were coming closer, we talked about the real closing. You must have sensed that the end was coming, did you?
Yeah, you... Well, you got so you couldn't get parts, and it just got to be a lot of headaches, and the money you could see, you know, what we worked in, and you know, have to check on how much the dealers owed and stuff like that. You could just see things weren't right.
They weren't running smoothly or efficiently anymore. Mm-hmm.
Was it difficult to be on the phone to someone on the other part of the United States and you didn't have what they wanted, what they ordered, and you didn't think it was going to be produced?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're upset sometimes because they've got this truck that's cost a fortune for them, and they need parts and they can't get them, and we can't get them for them, and some, you know, a lot of stuff. One thing Rio did, they customized a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we've heard that.
So things weren't interchangeable. You had to have those parts for that engine.
Yeah, and they had to be made, you know, if they called in, and they maybe had to be made from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... And you got some that was really hot.
Were you able to work with them and solve
the
problem?
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time you could get mm-hmm. something for them.
Yeah. And like we had these...
Seems that would be kind of stressful, it seems like, the last few years.
Yeah, well, it was. But anyway, I mean, this was a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
The jobs we had, these people, you know, it's just like you break down alongside the road and you got to have a part, and the people don't have it right there, and then they're calling. Or the dealer's calling us, even. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes if the dealer can't satisfy them, then the person gets on them that owns this truck.
Oh.
Oh dear.
Did you notice as much change with some of the other ownerships, White Motors and
M&T, really,
and then at the last mm-hmm. one, Capert had it?
Well,
was the stress load kind of the mm-hmm. same? Or?
Well, I think after Capert got in, and everybody could almost see what he's doing. You know, he's just taking all the gravy out of there, you know, and
squeezing it dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Letting people go.
Yeah.
Did any of your supervisors, were they let go? Were they out under Capert's reign? And we've heard that a lot of supervision was just suddenly given. You know, you're done. Clean out your desk. And I just wondered if any of your bosses that happened to them.
I was trying to think. You know, when we became a warehouse and left our, you know, our area, mm-hmm. you could see a lot of people going. You know, and you really didn't know why. Because we're over here so busy that you don't have time to
mm-hmm, to know
talk and stuff. You're kind of by yourself.
I see.
But you'd see some of our ones that we were under or something. They're combining jobs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked for Jim Cadline under that, you know, when we became a warehouse. And he left the... after I did, but he went to work at the Olds for a long time.
Yeah,
he just retired.
Marjorie Kohler, worked with him.
Marjorie Kohler, we just talked with her.
Oh,
she mentioned Jim. In fact, was that where the notebooks came from?
Yeah, she showed us some pictures that he gave her of the old Rio from 1915.
That he stayed before the end.
Because
I imagine, I don't know, but I'm assuming that maybe a lot of things were just being sent to the trash or something when the offices were being emptied. Mm-hmm. And he saved a lot of negatives and things.
Yeah, beautiful photographs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so glad.
Have you met
did.
Jim Cameron?
No.
Yet. He's a nice guy.
Very much like Jim. Mm-hmm. That's what Marjorie said, too. She said
she liked working with him.
Uh-huh. He was my boss for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And he was a good man to work mm-hmm. for.
We saw pictures of him at her retirement. You know,
oh,
she
that's
had her
right.
retirement party, I think. We saw some pictures.
That's
of
right, we did. Mm-hmm. And then there were some pictures of some of the different supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in the things. How about the girls' club? Oh, I don't mean the girls' club. I'm sorry. The clubhouse. Did you ever have any dealings in the clubhouse?
Well, you went to them. My husband can remember when they used to give those movies.
Yeah.
And going to those movies because he lived in Lansing and stuff, and they'd go down to them. But I never went to any.
Anything over there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about the big picnics or the dances or any of the other things that the Rio sponsors?
We used to go to fairs. Some of those.
Fairs, yeah. Mm-hmm. You go to some of those things with your kids sometimes.
Well, I never took my kids to too many things up there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hilda Smith was telling us about the Christmas baskets that the office staff used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to do a lot for. But, you know, they were kind of looked after their people that worked there, too.
At the Rio?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was kind of a family. You know, a lot of them, they still kind of cling to each other.
Mm-hmm. You sound like you don't feel that, you didn't feel that way as much as some other people did.
No, we still have lots of friends, you know, that mm-hmm. I worked with there. But, you know, after we retired and go to Florida 6 months of the year.
Oh,
it makes a lot of difference.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to keep up as much.
There are a lot of real people in Florida, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this year was the first year that they hadn't had a big reunion down there, dinner and all that sort of thing. They finally decided that they're scattered and it's too much work for whoever has to coordinate all this. And I guess this is the first year since time immemorial that they haven't done it.
I didn't know they didn't have it this year, but we've gone to it a couple, three times.
Oh, you have down there in
mm-hmm.
Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they used to have it?
Oh, but Bradenton. It's not at Bradenton, but it's right near there. It's like, you go through Bradenton more to the beach. I can't remember what the place is called, but that's where.
Where is that near? I don't know anything about
Sarasota.
Florida. Oh, near Sarasota. Mm-hmm.
Below St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've never been to Florida in my life.
I've been there a few times. My sister-in-law lives in Bradenton, the manager. And my fond memories of Bradenton are one, you can't find anything in that town. I mean, direction-wise, it's laid out so crazy. And the other thing was, I loved the beach, Coquina Beach. I thought that was my favorite, watching the Coquina shells hop around.
Oh! I'm very interested as a historian in what you thought were the big changes when you hired from between when you hired on in 45 to when you finished up in 75. Because you were there, I mean, obviously mm-hmm. not continuously, but over the course of 30 years, which is a long time, and what you and more or less in the same department. But I'm just curious how you thought things changed at the Rio. What was different about working there from the beginning towards the end?
Well, I think that you could see a lot of difference in the pride of the people, you know, in their job pride.
Okay. How the people felt about
mm-hmm.
their own work.
A lot of it is, you know, towards the end, just to get in their time and get their money and stuff. They just didn't.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have the same kind of commitment. What do you think that happened? A lot of people are concerned about that now, too, you know, that people don't care as much about their jobs.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the way they were brought up or what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some of that might have been because they felt it was going down.
Yeah, but I noticed that at Michigan State, too.
Oh,
I see. So you think it had more to do with the time period?
Because
mm-hmm.
I just don't think these people, I guess it's easy come, easy go, and they don't care whether they do stuff or not.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't see that so much in the 40s and in the 50s when you worked the first two times.
No, if you know, if somebody said they were going to do something, they usually did it.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it just got on. Unless you got after them two or three times, you know, they just didn't do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if they could get away without doing it, then they didn't do it.
So it was almost like a change in people's work ethics.
Mm-hmm.
That work ethic seemed to go down a little bit. Do you think that was just true where you worked, or was that in the shops too?
Well, I think it was in the shops too.
It was. You think it was mm-hmm. pretty characteristic?
I think so. You know, those people just didn't put out. You know, the guys said they took all these breaks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just like the other day we were someplace in where was it? I think it was up at the hospital. My brother's been in the hospital. I maybe told you about that. And he said
yes, you did.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, anyway, they were going to do wheel somebody out in the wheelchair.
Mm.
Person's ready to go. And didn't come. He says, well, they've been on their way. And he says, oh, I said, I could have crawled on my hands and knees and got there faster, but I think they took a break, you know, a coffee
they were
break,
on a break
before they came down there. He sets this old guy in that wheelchair, and, and he gets really upset. But I just don't think, even any place, in the hospitals and stuff, I don't think you find everybody that's, they're there to get their money, that's what they're there for.
We've undergone quite a change in this country, you know, morally, ethically.
I don't think I have some other stuff.
Oh, good.
I don't even know what I have.
Also, I'm curious how things may have changed over time about the equipment that you used, or the machinery, or the, you know, the technology to do the office work. Was there a big change? We talked a lot with, it was Mabel.
Mabel McLean.
Who started out on a very old-fashioned kind of a bookkeeping machine, and then by the time she retired, it was very, you know, fancy and high-tech. I mean, it wasn't a computer yet, but it was getting close. Did you see any change in that, too?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of difference, because, you know, we used to type on those old typewriters.
Old manuals.
And then it got so, well, we tried to put it on these punch cards.
Punch cards, sure.
And stuff like that to make it faster. But that didn't work, because we had so many customized things and things like that. They couldn't put all the information on them, and so they took that off. But when I left, we were having a computer to check for how much parts were on hand.
Oh, I see.
And the money. And
was that a screen? Was that a screen? Television screen?
Yeah. And we got to the point where the orders automatically went in, you know, and stuff like that.
Did it print out the bills?
Mm-hmm.
It did. That's pretty good for 1975.
But one bad thing that I found, cost a fortune for them to go on air, and it never really went like it should.
Problems?
Yeah, there were so many problems and stuff.
They hadn't worked on the bugs.
It just...
So you had to end up doing some things by hand?
It was faster and more accurate. And that was a bad thing about...
Mm-hmm. Well, it was so early in that technology. That's 12, you know, it's almost 20 years ago now.
But we did, you know, when somebody call us for a part, you can go and punch it in and see if we had it on hand and where it might be or something like that.
So that was helpful.
But it, you know, when they take inventory and stuff, then they come up with a lot of changes or something that they found parts that they didn't know they had and things like that. But it was computerized already.
Did you have any problem working on the computer?
No. Not really.
It didn't.
You know, it wasn't. You know, it was kind of a gradual thing. You know, you came out with maybe you want to punch in a dealership or something like that and get that, you know, information. But I know now, like everybody else, I'd have to take a course in it.
If you were to start now.
Yeah.
But you didn't feel that way.
I didn't. But a lot of people didn't like doing that.
For one thing, it's something new.
Scary.
Well, the secretary where we work, I know, still has trouble with it. One of the secretaries still has trouble with it. You know, we're doing letters and things on word processors.
Is she older?
Yeah.
Well, it makes a lot of difference, because these young kids are coming up from almost like kindergarten.
I know.
With computer awareness already.
So
but
that
feels
still,
good. Feels natural.
There's a mistake. It's a mess.
That's right. And if you don't know how to do it, you know, by hand, then you're really in trouble. If you only know how to do the computer, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah, you sure are.
Well, the person putting the information on those disks has got to know what they're doing, too.
Yeah.
And that would result. And then there's times when all the computers are down due to some electronic glitch, and everything stops.
What's scary is if that somebody punched something and erased all that stuff.
And in the beginning, the computers were sensitive to electric shocks and people walking by, and it would erase the memory bank and all of that.
How cool,
you
know,
that?
How cool they were. You know, they had to have a certain temperature.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. It couldn't be too hot.
60 degrees or some such thing.
You said you thought the office was old and old-fashioned and...
Well, it was an old building.
It was an old building. Okay. Because we saw some pictures of it. It looked like the machinery and the and the desks and all of that seemed pretty up to date.
Some areas it was.
Yeah.
But
did, didn't put much money back into...
Well, I think probably they lived within their budget, but, you know, it kept changing. First it was just real, and then it became White Chuck Company, and then Diamond Rail,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And in certain areas, they would... Well, sales department always looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept that.
Because it's for the public.
That's what shows.
Yeah.
And ours just looked like an old
office.
I can remember once we had a great big office, and guys sat way off like that. My name was Tony, and he chewed tobacco, and every once in a while, I'd be typing along, and all it ping! And it was Tony doing that again, but he had got foreign stuff, and he really was quite a smart man. He knew a lot of languages, and things like that.
He did the foreign market.
Mm-hmm.
But he chewed tobacco.
He chewed tobacco. Even though he was a great big room, he wasn't separated by
right.
partitions.
It was a picture of that. It was a huge
mm-hmm.
space.
Hmm. Was it Marjorie that spoke about how hot it was where she worked on the third floor?
Yes.
I worked with Marjorie.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
She spoke about the heat and had. Mm-hmm. She said they didn't wear nylons and things because it was just so hot up there. And
uh-huh.
outside her window was this tar paper roof that reflected the heat back in and made it even worse.
Uh-huh.
On the main floor, they were dressed for winter, and on the top floor, dressed for summer.
Then we had the bats.
The
warehouse was out back of our office, and those bats would come in once in a while, swooping down over the desk.
Creating a lot of chaos and screaming.
Well, yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either. Well, they startle you too. All
very
of a sudden,
spooky.
And you know, they always said, "Well, you know, they get in your hair." And
like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Did any of your kids work at Rail?
No,
they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We've been noticing some families, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we always ask about parents and kids also. If any of them worked in there.
A couple of my sisters worked at in the shop part.
Oh, did they really? Mm-hmm. What did they do? Do you recall?
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen works at, she's in the business office at Michigan State now. And my sister, the other one, she retired from the state police personnel part.
Oh.
So,
you know, we'd love to talk to them if you want to let them know about us.
We've not had an opportunity to talk to very many women who worked in the shop
during the war.
During the war,
so they didn't work there very long, but they,
mm-hmm.
they
that would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you would, let them know about us.
If they're
okay.
interested,
we won't bother them,
okay.
but
okay.
you just let them know that they could call us.
Okay,
and we'd love to talk to them. And I'm right at stake, so we could even come to her office during lunch or something if that would be kind of convenient.
Yeah, you might even know Eileen
Norton.
Mm-mm. She's over
in the Hannah building?
No, she's over in athletics.
Well, she's in athletics.
Business office.
Oh, and
kind of where you were
in
athletic department.
Well, yeah, I work most of the time in Monet's Arena.
Oh,
wow. Oh. Did that allow you to see the games?
For I went to a few. My sister does. She is.
Oh, very nice.
Still, you know, but she's been there for a long time now.
What have you heard?
Oh, I don't. This is. Well, that was just something that has happened since we had that Girl Scout. You know, they used to. This is just something I had on hand. You can have it if you want to.
Oh, the 16th. You have an annual Girls Club dinner too.
Well,
huh?
I don't know if they still do that now or not.
They
know,
you know, they have that monthly one that goes on at the Golden Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They do that every month,
yeah.
The fourth Thursday or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is that's a mess of fun. I don't know if you got that. That was a Diamond Rail Girl.
Oh, from 1986. Huh. No, we didn't get this. I think this
that's
is what
I.
Doris keeps hold of this list.
Yeah, oh, yes.
That was my when I got laid off.
Oh. Salary personnel status change from Diamond Rio Trucks. TOP union. This is a slip that you got when you were laid off.
I think that's the one, wasn't
it? Yeah, it says laid off from Department 42B, reduction in force.
Mm-hmm.
Catiline, Hooper, Eller, Saunders, Eaton.
Hmm.
Was this when you were laid off for your operation?
No, I had that after. That was when we was done.
Oh,
this is the very end, April 24th, 1975.
Hmm.
And you got your pink slip.
Yeah, right.
My pink slip.
That's a pink page.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've not seen one of those before. Oh, I should give you this back.
Hmm. I know there's more things I'm just not thinking about right now.
Were there a lot of other women that worked in parts with you before you went to the districts and that kind of thing?
Before
was
we
it
went
quite
down
a large force?
Yeah, there was a lot of girls that worked in there.
In parts.
I don't really know how many.
Oh, I didn't need to. I just was curious if it was just a small office of maybe just yourself and.
Now, see, Marge Kohler.
She said she did the catalog.
Yeah.
She said she spent most of it. Do you remember that?
That's right.
That they had thousands of parts for the truck, and that she worked primarily in compiling and typing catalog that listed all the different specifications for the trucks.
And see, she kind of worked with all these field men too.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. They kind of reported in, you know, like to her for the, you know, to she's a secretary
for the information,
and stuff. Mm. But she kept track, I think, of where these guys were, you know, on the road and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
But there must have been 15 girls in that office, I would think, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you first went there, and as you kept, you know, coming and going, did you need any particular training, a specific training to work in that department, or just your high school typing and bookkeeping was enough to get you started?
Well, you got somebody, you know, you learn things gradually, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Somebody showed you the ropes a little bit.
So on the job training.
Yeah, that's really about what it was. You know, after you were there for a while, you got a raise because, you know, you
learned the job.
You learned it.
Yeah.
But some people, you know, after a while, the people come in with union, they started as much as maybe you were getting, you've been there for years.
Gee, that's got to be hard to take.
It doesn't make for a very good feeling amongst the older people.
That'd be kind of a breakdown.
Because
nobody
can come in and start doing what the person's been doing for years.
And you've got
the ranges where there's a different classifications. I mean, you start at a lower range and then you work your way up to the higher range. If you're in class 7, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, see, used to be it was merit until after the union.
Mm-hmm.
It did. I think the boss probably figured you're doing a good job. You know, you
get a raise
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else here, you got a pay raise, and then
then
they were after one or something. So it's kind of.
Well, did you have like a yearly evaluation to go up from one range to another, or they just, or the super your boss just decided when it was time?
Yeah, I think your boss just
called you and said, "Look, you've been doing a good job. I'm going to raise your classification."
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering how that was done.
I know they do evaluations now, but I can't remember.
It was more personal.
I guess we did have some at Rio, but I couldn't. I don't remember it very well.
Generally speaking, it was just what your boss noticed on a daily basis.
I think after we became unionized, I think they had to
do it more regularly.
Yeah.
Somebody else we were speaking with, maybe it was Mabel, said that before the union, if you had too much of a workload and you couldn't get it all done, somebody at the next desk who maybe wasn't as busy would come and help you. And after the union, you never saw that again.
That's right. I know I worked for Ed Rankin before we became in the thing.
No, we talked to Ed.
I was trying to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he back in the Lansing area?
Yes.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Remember he said he moved back from Florida or Texas? Yeah,
Texas.
Texas. He said he moved back from Texas. He didn't like it. So he's back somewhere there in an apartment, I think.
I liked working for Ed. He was one
nice.
Of the... There was another girl and I when we were in this area. Ed was my boss. And he backed you up in stuff. You know, when the dealer or somebody call us and say, I want this part, and you'd tell them what you're going to do to get it or something like that. And then they'd call me to find out when I had a date or something like that. And then he'd say, well, I want to talk to Ed. So he'd talk to Ed and he'd say, well, what did Doris tell you? And they tell him, he says, well, that's just the way it's going to be then.
Oh.
He really backed you up.
That's good. That makes for good feelings, doesn't it, in a department?
And I had what they call the LSD orders. It was Lansing Ship Direct. That was before LSD was...
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The orders came in for parts and stuff. And then another girl that worked at the other desk, there was us two girls, they had warranty stuff. You know, stuff that was under warranty. But now mine might be 150 orders a day that I had to get out. Or maybe she'd have 10 or something like that. But he always said, if one's sitting around, both are going to be sitting around. And he'd get after them. Because sometimes, you know, if the person was out, then you had to do their job too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you might as well learn it and help out.
So you could step in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But not when it became union.
I was just interesting in tracing the path. Somebody calls you from, say, Texas, and they need a dealer and needs parts, and then they call you directly, and then you look and see if you've got the part, and then do you go ahead and order it to be shipped out?
Mm-hmm.
And
you put in an order, just like if you were calling, say you wanted a dress, you know, you could order it from someplace. You got the size, the part number, and how much it costs and stuff. But with these parts, it doesn't have to be a truck down, you know, along the road, but they want it on hand or something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, like the dealer, he'd order it, but you'd ship it direct to his customer.
Oh.
See, like that.
That's what yours, LSD,
mm-hmm.
is.
Lansing Ship Direct.
That means?
Shipped right out of Lansing,
right,
to
Lansing.
Whoever wants, you know, might be the dealer that wants it,
it might be his customer.
So you did the shipping, you were the one that was responsible for the shipping part,
that's
not the billing.
No, it wasn't the billing.
You didn't do the billing.
Mm-hmm.
That went on somewhere else.
That was, after it was shipped, we got it, then we forwarded it. So
okay.
Did the order go from you, like down to a receiving or shipping department, and they actually packaged it up?
Mm-hmm. And shipped it out.
Sent it out to the airport?
Mm-hmm. Then when it was shipped, it came back to us. And these were all grouped down to our areas. You know,
the papers came back.
And then they were sent to billing.
I see.
To be filled out and stuff.
Did you ever have any big snafus where a part didn't get sent or it never arrived at its destination?
I had one where I was so unhappy. I looked at getting this part made. And it had taken a lot of shop work and a lot of hours
to
be made.
Especially made, huh?
And then a dealer came in from Chicago, and he needed that part, and he went out there, and he seen it.
Been made.
No, he seen it was done.
Oh, okay.
So the person took him and let him have that. Well, boy, I was just...
Oh, without letting you know, or...?
Sure, if I didn't know him, he wouldn't have got it. But anyway, he took it.
Oh, because you were having it made for someone else.
But, I mean, he was charged for it and everything.
But except you didn't know where it went, and it was supposed to be for someone else.
And so then I had to go through, and we had quite a time about that. That was just a little...
So you had to have another part made then, and hurriedly shipped out?
Hurriedly. It took a long time to get it made, and I did for the
did
other.
It.
But, you know, you had to follow up on those things to make sure they were gone, because stuff didn't happen like that.
I wonder if you ever had a part that was shipped off to somewhere and it never arrived, or...
Yeah.
And then you'd have to have another one shipped out.
Yeah. See, they'd have to... I think you used to have a lot better mail service than we get now. you know, and stuff. But you had to trace that down and find out where it went. And sometimes you never did find it.
Oh, really? Really? That interesting. Kind of like an unsolved case in the police department.
Lost in space.
But, you know, then they're not getting charged for it, and so
the company has to absorb it. Yeah. Sounds like you had a lot of initiative on that job. It wasn't sitting at a desk all day.
No, it wasn't.
That'd be more satisfying, wouldn't it?
It was because, you know, you had to go out in the shipping department, and sometimes if they'd say, well, we don't have that part, you have to be out there and look in the bin and find it.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to be sure that it was the right part.
You had to know your parts, didn't you?
Well, you know, you learned a lot of things, but I didn't really know the parts. But you get a part number, and mm-hmm. then you maybe had to get a, you know, a plan of it or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you catch it at all when you used to go out there and look at stuff? You know, lady coming down from the office and looking at all the guys working down there.
But I got along with most of the guys. You know, when they talk about guys talking dirty.
Yeah.
But I still think that if you don't talk like that, they know how much they can say.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're going to respect you more and treat you that the way that you act.
Yeah. I think that's an
interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have any trouble with that going down there?
If you came out and found the part still in the bin that they said they didn't have.
Most of the guys were real nice. I don't recall but having any problems with them.
It's interesting.
But I know, even my husband tells me, you know, the guys talk different in the shops than they do at home.
I think that's probably true. I worked in the shop for a period of time, and I worked with mainly with women. There were a few men there, and the women talked dirty, and the men didn't. And my mother had worked in the Rio, so I mentally maybe was prepared, but it's not like walking in and
shock,
being there. And that really surprised me.
Yeah, he says the women talk filthy.
Yeah, I don't understand, unless they're in the male... previously male kind of dominated areas, say in the shop on production lines, and whether they think they have to be that way to measure up or prove that they can do it, well, I don't know. It always kind of amazed me. They weren't very friendly.
There was
a barrier between the women down on the line where the grease and the dirt and the noise was and the women that worked in the office.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely...
There's a
barrier. Yeah, because somehow you feel that they're, that they think, they don't, I'm sure, or you just feel like, I'm the dirty shop rat down here, and if it weren't for me, they wouldn't have their job up there, and then they come down with their safety glasses and holding their skirts away from me, you know, just to walk a thin line to get into the cafeteria for fear that, you know, you have that feeling. I'm sure they aren't like that, but, you know, so there is a barrier. I don't know if there was then, but...
I'm sure, you know, there was. I didn't have a lot to do with a lot of women out in the shop. But
there weren't that many there by the 60s either, anyway.
There wasn't so many.
Yeah.
During the war...
Right, there were more.
But at that time, I didn't have much to do except for the shipping department.
They must have been very busy during the war with all the military contracts and all the trucks and the parts that they might have needed.
Yeah. I used to be so busy I can't remember. I didn't have much time to know
remember
that.
Not being busy.
Yeah, you were just learning the job.
Yeah.
So,
really, when I first went there,
this is when it does that.
No, it's not working. Didn't catch right there.
Double coffee if you'd like some.
There we go.
Oh, this is fine for me anyway. You mentioned earlier Mr. Swisher.
Rollison Swisher. He's
Rollison.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get the name spelling for who I was going to type this. R-E-L-L-I-S-O-N. And it's S-W-I-S-H-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Dollar is...
and that's what he was called.
Dollar.
I think that's... I wonder how he got that nickname.
I don't know.
Maybe he...
But he'd always say, that's the way it is. Yeah, that was his expression.
They could call him on the phone, and he knew right what part number they needed and everything. That was always remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little guy, you know.
Oh, really?
With a name like that, he would have to be a character.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He was a nice guy. Mm. I worked for him both first and the second time, you know.
Mm. Now, you didn't go into the Rio in 45 because your sisters had gone in during the war. It had nothing to do with that either. Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I just was looking for a job, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you go to do war work or just to get a job? I mean, were you going in to answer the call for people to work for the war effort?
No, I was just
to get a job at that time.
Yeah. And your husband was away in the service.
Yeah,
and he was away. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had a daughter then that had been born in October before.
Oh. The military pay wasn't that great.
No, I got $50. I got $91 a month.
That was the total.
That was what I got for. He had a special allotment for $50, and I got $41. So that was one reason why I went to work.
Yeah, you needed to get the money.
Can
Did you have your family help you with your dirt with your girl when you went to
my work? Mother?
Yeah,
took care of her most of the time.
It's nice to have family around.
That's right. It's very important.
Yeah.
It surely is.
All right, I'm all set. Are you all set too?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Thank you very much for talking with us today.